God's doing something here. Do you sense it? You know, we can sit on the edge and think, oh yeah, you know, oh, this is interesting. But I think we're getting a glimpse this weekend. I think we're glimpsing into heaven. And I was just thinking as we were worshiping there this morning, you know, it's probably a little bit like the time that they introduced guitars into worship. You know, I wasn't alive back then because I'm very young, but I imagine what it was like, you know, when this was a worship that was driven by an organ and somebody got up and they started playing the guitar, and it would have been like, oh, well, you know, when I'm playing the organ, I'm sitting down. You know, what's happening here, you know, the early adopters get on with it, probably like they did back in the early days when the Garrets kind of broke in with scripture and song, and people were probably looking and thinking, what's going on here? This is outside of my comfort zones. And I think that God is starting to unfold something that may feel like that. And if I could glimpse into heaven and see what it looks like, I think the wonderful picture that we see is in Revelation 7, verse 9. And if you've got your Bibles, I just want to focus on this passage today. It's an amazing passage, and I think it's if we could pull the curtains of heaven back and glimpse in to see what's going on at the moment, this is what we'd see. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the thrones and around the elders and all the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Seen a little bit of that today, haven't we? Saying, "Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." I think this is a window looking into heaven, you know? Seeing the worship that's going on, you know, all the nations. I love that word nations. The Greek word is ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnicities from, and people from every nation and tribe and language were worshiping God together, right in heaven, worshiping God from all ethnicities, every nation worshiping together, a blend of ethnicities. And this kingdom of God is in a monochrome gray color where everybody's the same. God creates a rich tapestry of colors of people, of nations worshiping at his throne. And I don't think it was, you know, that there was a song leader up there, you know, some angel going, "Now it's the time for the Ethiopians to worship. Away you go, guys." And they got up and did their stuff. Afterwards, we're going to have the Samoans. They're going to do a fire dance. And then after that, we're going to have some Aborigines playing the didgeridoo. No, I think that this was a whole worship together. A synergy. A unity of people from every tribe and nation and language. Just a blend of cultures worshiping God together. And we're tasting something like that here. And it's just the beginning. There's more to come. There's more to come. I believe that there are some things that God is going to unfold within the church that we have yet to see. And just as we saw a breakthrough happening with scripture and song, and we can probably look back at that and say, oh yeah, that was great. But if you were sitting right at the time that it started to break out, would you have gone, "Yes, Lord, at last we've got guitars in church"? Or would you have gone, "Hey, what about the organ? This isn't hymns. I'm not sure whether I like this," you know? Would you have been an early adopter or a late adopter? Where would you fit it into it, you know? Worshiping together. You know, experts tell us Auckland is one of the most multicultural cities in the world. I saw a great headline from a New Zealand-based mission magazine that said, "The people of the world coming to a street near you." I like that. The people in the world come into a street near you. That's Auckland City, isn't it? We love the diversity. We love the color and the tapestry that's been woven into Auckland City. God's assembling people from the nations here. And I believe that there's a call in the church for the nations to come together. For the nations to be intentional about our cultural engagement. And that's why we're using the word intercultural. We're not talking about multicultural. That's the trendy word out in the world, but I actually think for us here in Hills Church, it's intercultural. It's an intercultural, it's intentional engaging of cultures. An intentional engaging of cultures, and that's what we've been doing. And you know, what Lauren and Rena and the team put together last night was beautiful, wasn't it? You know, let's give them a round of applause. Lauren's just out ministering at the moment. And everybody pitched in this. It's so hard to kind of single out any one person or two people, but it was just an amazing time last night. The place was packed and buzzing, and we've had wonderful feedback about the gumboot song. Somebody said we should take up the offering in a gumboot. But all that was done, the worship, the singing, the dancing, it was a fabulous time, wasn't it? And the food, you're all invited to lunch afterwards, and we have just such a big amount of food over it, and we'd love you just to enjoy that with us. You know, it's a beautiful blending that God is doing within our church of cultures. I remember when I was young, I have to confess, back in the 1970s. Does anybody remember the 1970s? Yeah, oh, a few hands there. Yeah, we read about it and we studied it at school. And my mum, she used to make curry. And she used to make curry out of this yellow curry powder. You remember it? You know, and you used to get a little metal pot thing, you know. And she'd make it, and it was a one flavor curry dish, and she'd make it out of sausages, curried sausages. I can see some nods. Yeah, probably you've had it. And this was New Zealand. This was Kiwi curry, and I hated it. Every time she'd say, "Oh yeah, this one flavor, one color curry," and it was just. We didn't know difference, you know. We just thought, well, this is what curry is. And I thought, you know, if somebody said, "Do you want curry?" I'd go, "Yuck, yuck, no." Sausages and yellow kind of syrupy stuff. No, that's not me. Just a one-color flavor a deal. You know, we didn't know any difference. You know, I sometimes think that there's a lot of churches like that. They're a one flavor, one curry, one color deal. You know, everybody's the same. Same ethnicity. Everybody's sitting on the same pew week after week. But I don't think that that's God's picture here in Revelation. When Judy and I were in India at the beginning of the year, we were staying in Pastor Anul's place, and Pastor Anul and Pastor Rena's place, and one of the neighbors, I think she lived the floor down, came up and she bought us lunch, and she heard that we were in town, she's not a Christian, is she? She's on the road and certainly open to it, and you know, having a relationship and having a meal together is really important for us. So she bought us. She heard that we were in town, so she brought us up lunch. You know, for the next slide on that one, and that's her there, and Pastor Anul and Pastor Rena, and it was amazing. It was one of those whoa sort of meals, you know. And this definitely wasn't a yellow one-flavored curry dish that she was giving to us. This was a blend of spices that were superb. You couldn't pick one spice from all the others. All the spices were so blended together, and it was just amazing. And I'm thinking, man, this is so much better than the curried sausages we used to have back in the 1970s. And this was just superb. And Judy's getting all the names, and she's saying, "Is that tarragon in there? Is that blah blah?" You know, and I'm just going, "Yeah. Yes, bring it on." I'm tasting the flavors, and I just didn't want to know the names. I just wanted to eat. And I'm thinking, this is so much better. This is so much better than that yellow stuff we used to have as kids. This is such a superb blend of spices. There was a richness and a depth that no one spice could make. And I think this is what it's like when it comes to being intercultural. You know, being intercultural is a blend of different cultures. And I think that the church, when it grasps this, becomes so much more deep and rich experience as we worship God together. And I think that this is where we're headed, what we're embarking on. You know, it's an intercultural church that we celebrate the richness and the depth of all the different cultures that God brings to the table. We honor the differences. We value the contribution that every culture makes to being the family of God. And here's one of the important things is that we need to allow ourselves to be shaped by the different ethnicities that are in our church, because we have so much to learn from each other. But you know, we can be so proud and think we have so much to teach you, rather than coming with a humble attitude. We have so much to learn from you. And I think that God's calling us to humble ourselves and to be teachable and to learn from one another how to be family together. To learn to have a rich, rich flavor in this place. You know, multiculturalism doesn't get the blend. It's like a yellow curry powder, that there isn't a blend of spices. There isn't any interaction between the cultures. It's like having all the spices lined up on the bench, but not combining them. Well, you've got this church here and that church here. Somebody said that the hour on Sunday is the most segregated time in history or in the week. And it is. But I believe that God wants to blend his church together. Do you? Oh, all the spices blended together. What a richness, what a flavor. That's what the kingdom's about. Every people from every nation. He's bringing them here to the backyard. He's bringing them into his sanctuary to worship him together. You know, I love something about the worship's flavor that Anil's bringing, that Indians bring to the church. They celebrate. And they love to celebrate. You know, Kiwis were a little bit reserved. And, you know, this is what we're like. You know, that's a normal Kiwi look. You know, it's what we look. And this is our celebration look. Yeah. Just notice there's a slight inflection there in the mouth. That's celebrating. This is kind of the next look is, this is super ecstatic, you know. Okay. The mouth has gone from being to, we're lively. That's as lively as we get. But as I've enjoyed the celebration that we have at Ruki Baresh and in Satsang, I've got a little bit animated, you know? And I'm learning, and it really brings a richness to worship, doesn't it? To be able to celebrate, to learn to celebrate. We can learn so much more than that as we embrace the different cultures and allow God to bring out a depth and to worship, a depth and a beauty and a rich tapestry that he's weaving into his church. You know, the intercultural engagement is dependent on relationship, all the spices mixing together, an interdependent relationship forming an intercultural community. That's what I think it's about, an interdependent relationship forming an intercultural community. I love that. I love that. I love the different flavors and the richness of the church that God's forming, you know? A wonderful blend. It's not them and us. It's us together. And we need to cut out some of that language. Oh, you know, the Indians are worshiping over there and the Tongans there. And no, it's all of us together. It's all of us together. Well, I've been talking to the guys from the Tongan church, and they're just excited about having, they were there, they loved it last night. Wasn't it good having them part of the place with us, you know? And I said, you know, we're wanting to have celebration services. And Pastor Sione said, well, tell us when it is and we'll be there. Well, I said, well, the next one's tomorrow, so that's probably a bit early. But, you know, they want to come and worship and celebrate with us. And we need to do that and just be embracing and open to people from every nation and language and people and tribes coming, you know, cultural diversity. You know, one of the Bible stories that I love to read when it comes to that is the story of Peter in Acts 10. You know the story, you know, Peter was probably one of those yellow single flavored curry sort of people. He thought like a Jew, and he thought that Jews were the only nation on the world. The Jews were the only nation, people that God loved, and they were God's chosen people. They didn't touch or didn't have a relationship with anybody other than Jews, because if they did, they'd be unclean. They were superior. They were in a privileged position, and God began to shake his yellow curry powder worldview, and he falls into this trance, and he sees this sheep being lowered down from heaven, Acts 10, and it's got all these animals on it. And all sorts of animals, clean and unclean animals, animals that Peter would eat, and lots of them that he'd eat. No way, I don't eat that sort of stuff. And he hears this voice from heaven saying a very un-PC word, kill and eat. If Peter was a vegetarian, that would have really shattered his worldview. His theology would have been tipped up right and upside down. And it was being tipped upside down. Kill and eat. Peter's saying, no way, I can't eat that sort of stuff. We would become unclean, you know. And like us today, I think God was challenging his theology, his prejudice, and his worldview. He was deepening it. He was widening it, you know. He was widening the shallow horizon that he had been looking at God through. God is the God of the Jews and the Jews only. And he was challenging him to see people. God was challenging him to see people through his eyes. And he calls him. He says, I want you to go and minister to Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Gentile. And the problem was that Peter didn't mix with these sorts of people. And there's a tension, a challenge that's going on here in the story that happens in every intercultural journey. It's the one we face even within this place. You know, we can like these sorts of one-off experiences. We can desire and talk about unity and diversity, you know, because that's what the Bible tells us and that's how it tells us. Yet we crave similarity and familiarity, don't we? We crave it. We crave similarity and familiarity. And like Peter, we stick to our yellow powder little groups. One religious groups, our cultural groups. Sometimes we find it uncomfortable with being with people from other ethnicities, especially worshiping them, you know, because people think differently from different cultures. They express things differently. And that's how it was for Peter. He'd been conditioned to think that way. But God was shattering his worldview. And I think he's doing that in his church at the moment. And Peter had to take a courageous step. And it was a pretty uncomfortable step for him. It was a Spirit-led step because the Holy Spirit said to him, Acts 10 verse 20, go. As God says that to you, how do you feel? Step out of your comfort zones and step into what I'm doing. You know, it takes courage to do that, you know. Mix with people we don't usually mix with, to learn things about ourselves so that we wouldn't learn if we just stayed in our one-flavored yellow little curry groups. Express worship in ways that we're not really used to. Guitars? You know. What about the organ? We've moved on, but God wants to take us further and unwrap something bigger than we've really, really even considered. A richness, a depth to our relationships with one another, to God. It'll change the way you think. You know, last year we had the Upsurge, a little seminar here, and there was a word had got out, and there was a couple of Maori people came from Hamilton. They felt that they felt God saying they needed to come to the Upsurge seminar. And they came out there and they sat out in the car park and they sat there for quite some time. And I was talking to them later when they came into the church, and they said, we were sitting in there and we're thinking, God, why do you want us to go to a white church?
We don't want to go in there. They just felt so uncomfortable with the thought actually of coming to white middle class Hillsborough, and that's actually been massively changed in the last 20 years if you hadn't known. And they were sitting there in the car park and thinking, we've got to walk in here to a white church. We just don't want to do that. And but they were courageous. They faced their fears head on. They walked up the steps into this place and they came and they worshiped with us, and God moved powerfully. It was uncomfortable for them, but God moved powerfully in a way that we'd never experienced. You know, that's the thing that we need in this journey is courage. Is courage. You know, we can say, oh yeah, we want to support missions as long as it's over there overseas, but God is doing something right here in our own backyard, and we need courage to step into it, not just to send money overseas, but to step out and be involved right here and right now. And that's what we love about Hillsborough, because so many people have a missional heart, and missions right here. Right here in this place. And it might be really great that whether we sent the couches out overseas and they learnt the language and they got stuck in and immersed in the culture. But God's saying that's good for the couches. They did an amazing job. But we need to get immersed in the culture that he's unwrapping here. It might be uncomfortable, but will you be courageous and step into it? You know, forgiveness flowed in a way I've never experienced before at that meeting. And maybe that's the first step for some of us, is to be forgiven. Maybe we need to go to somebody and say, hey, will you forgive me for how I've thought about you and your people? Or maybe will you forgive me for the things that my people have done to you? That's what we need. You know, this journey is going to feel uncomfortable. Will we be courageous and move in the direction that God's leading? Imagine if Peter never did. Imagine if Peter backed out and said, I'm not going to Cornelius's house. I'm a Jew and I'm comfortable in my little closeted world that I live in. Imagine. Where would we be now? Peter would never have been written about in the Bible like he was. He let himself be led by the Spirit to Cornelius' house, and he experienced a mighty move of God. And as he's going through this time, as he steps out against his fears, against his prejudices, against his theological understanding of this little narrow view that he had of God, God moves powerfully. And suddenly the penny drops, the lights go on, the revelation comes, and Peter says, hey, God shows no partiality. Acts 10, verse 34. God shows no partiality. You know, this is how intercultural church works. It's modeled on who God is, not what the world thinks. It's modeled on who God is, and he shows no partiality. In other words, God has no favorites, you know, and if he doesn't, then neither should we. You know, we so easily gravitate to our own little people groups, you know. Think, hey, sit down and have a cup of coffee because, you know, we can talk together because we're both Kiwis. And he's saying, nah, don't show partiality. You know, James was pretty hot on the topic. He said, if you show partiality, you're committing sin. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? You know, if you favor some people over others, you're committing sin. And the idea of showing someone partiality is looking to see who someone is before deciding how to treat with them. We all do, don't we? You know, somebody comes in and we'll look and we'll think, and as we look at them, we'll decide. Something will go on in our minds. This is how I should treat that person. I did it the other day. I went to get a haircut. I walked in. I couldn't get one in one place. Only Hunger's got hundreds of barbers, you may have noticed. And I went in, and oh, this place was chocker, so I went to the next one, and there's a guy who usually cuts my hair occasionally. And he was having lunch, and he sent somebody else out, and this guy walks out like this. And I thought, you're not cutting my hair. Man, you can't even comb your hair. I don't want you. And what was I doing? I suddenly looked at the person, and I made a judgment. I didn't know whether he could cut hair or not. You'd assume that he could if he was working in a barber shop, wouldn't you? I was looking to see who the person was. and I treated him by his looks. You know, it's so easy to judge people by how we see them, the color of their skin, maybe their economic condition, the nationality, and we judge them because all those people from that nation and that nationality are like that. We do it, don't we? We do it in little ways and in big ways, you know? Oh, you know, when we're driving on the motorway and we think, ah, I bet you I know who that is. Yeah, I was right. Yeah, those guys can't drive for nuts. Partiality. God shows no partiality, and neither should we. Will you let him search your heart this morning and reveal any ways you do? You know, he's been doing that with me big time. I've been going to Jenny's Be the Bridge, Jenny Ikebo's Be the Bridge thing. And, you know, the big thing, she talks about white supremacists, and that really winds me up. And she still talks about white people having privileged position, and that really makes me annoyed, you know, thinking, calm it down, Jenny. But as we've sat and as we've talked about it, I've thought, you know what we do? We're so prejudiced. I'm so prejudiced. And I feel so uncomfortable with that. And God's saying, wake up, Glenn. Wake up, Glenn. You view things through a white European eyes and from a privileged position. I want to show you so much more. This is what this journey is going to be like. It takes courage, but it takes faith to step out and to say, God, here I am, use me. God shows no partiality. We want to be like him, then do the same. God has no favorites, no favorite ethnicity, no favorite people, no favorite gender. Do we believe that? More than that, will we reflect that? Personally, it means he treats you the same as he treats everyone. He loves you the same as he loves me, Pastor Anil, Pastor Lauren. Somebody that's just coming here for the first time to check church out. He loves us all the same. And corporately, that means that's a value that we should live out in our relationships with others. No partiality. Loving everyone the same, because at the end of the day, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And he loves all of us the same. And we should love everyone else in the same way. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 I've got two questions that I'd like you to think through. Hannah's going to pop them up. You know, when it comes to engaging with people from other cultures, what are some of the characteristics God wants you to address in your life so that you can do this more effectively? I don't want you just coming and sitting in this and go, oh yeah, you know, that was good, that was a good time, had a good time last night. How's God speaking to you? What's he challenging in your life? It may feel uncomfortable, but we're a courageous people, aren't we? We want to be reflecting God. We want to have no partiality. We don't want to have prejudices. We don't want to hold things. We can go, oh yeah, this is too much, you know. This is a challenge that this word gives to us. This is a challenge that God gave to Peter. It's a challenge he's giving to us as a church. And what is one way you can intentionally engage with other people or a person from another nation in our family here at Hills? Lauren's saying, you know, why don't we do dinners together like we used to? That was a big part of Kiwi culture. You don't do that a lot nowadays. Maybe it could just be, hey, come over to my place for dinner. Let's sit down and have a meal together and I can know you. Simple thing like that. There's some thoughts. Two questions. Have a think about it and then turn to the people around about you. And maybe it's going to be, you know, hey, I didn't realize how prejudiced I was, that I look at everything through white eyes. And I look at other people who maybe aren't white like me, who are colored people, and I come at things from this angle when it's wrong. There's a challenge in it. God's challenging me on that. And I have to change how I do things. And just share that. And then Josh is going to come and we're going to sing that song. It's a wonderful song. It's got anointing on it like nothing. That, you know, Lord, we praise you. And we'll just sing that and then we'll have lunch together. So think about that and then just get into little groups. And then once you've shared that, then pray for one another. And if you're feeling, oh man, I'm not quite comfortable talking in little groups, we respect that. You can just sit quietly and the sound guys will put some little music on and you can just sit in that and then sing the song with us and come and join us for lunch. It's not a pressure, you don't have to do this. I know there's been times I've gone into church and they may just do stuff and I think, I just don't want to do this. Then you can sit out, that's okay. Let's be courageous and think about that.